Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the Lake Michigan Mothman. Long before the Lake Michigan Mothman, his story was being told. In the 1960s, the Point Pleasant, West Virginia area was a setting for multiple horrific encounters with what was known as the Mothman. After a giant bridge disaster, the sightings ceased. Many assumed that somehow the Mothman was connected to the collapse. Were the troublesome sightings an omen of the tragedy that was about to take place? As time would pass, memory and stories of the Mothman would subside. Then, in 2017, sightings of the creature began to pop up around the states that surround Lake Michigan. A large, dark-winged creature with glowing blood-red eyes is a thing of nightmares. For many who witnessed it, though, it's become a horror of reality. Today, we discuss the Lake Michigan Mothman with Tobias Wayland.
November of 1966 is when those sightings began. And so people started reporting a strange winged humanoid. The description varied somewhat between eyewitnesses, but it was consistent enough to have a general profile. And so that was essentially this humanoid winged being with glowing red eyes that would fairly consistently strike fear into whoever was unlucky to see this thing. And, there were dozens of sightings between 1966 and 1967, mostly covered by a fairly well-known ufologist at that time, well, for people who were into UFOs and things, named John Keel. And he had, famously written a book about it sometime afterward called The Mothman Prophecies. And in that, the narrative sort of goes that these sightings culminated with the collapse of the Silver Bridge, which spanned from Point Pleasant to Gallipolis, Ohio, across the Ohio River there in December of 1967. And so since then, people have associated these particular winged humanoid sightings with upcoming disasters of one sort or another. It's sort of taken on this this portentous air. People will often refer to the Mothman of Point Pleasant specifically, and then this has sort of branched out, I think, into basically every winged humanoid sighting. But that particular creature, cryptid, whatever you want to call it, has become known as a sort of harbinger of tragedy.
Almost like an omen that's coming to warn. It's interesting because it has such an ominous feel and look to it. So from what I'm understanding, the bridge collapse in Point Pleasant back in the 60s, the sightings were leading up to the collapse. Is that correct?
Well, that's the narrative.
Okay.
If I'm being completely honest, I think that the collapse of the Silver Bridge was a convenient narrative ending.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there is a whole lot of real evidence to connect these sightings to that collapse. And I think that that's sort of the difficulty in understanding sightings like this, because people want they want a tidy narrative, frankly. Mm-hmm. They want something that makes sense. They want a story with a beginning, middle, and end. And if you start with the sightings in November and then end with the collapse of the Silver Bridge, regardless of whether or not there's any real solid connection, you have a complete story, and people love that. But I think very notably, even in his own writing, John Keel, you know, who had initially introduced this idea of Mothman as Harbinger, even admitted in the Mothman prophecies that, you know, he had claimed to have been receiving these strange messages and warnings and things. And so he had thought that there may have been some disaster coming, but he thought that it was going to be this this huge blackout on the East Coast. And that never happened. You know, he was preparing for it, and it just never came to pass. And so, like I said, I mean, when the Silver Bridge collapsed, even though there really isn't a whole lot to connect these events, it really provided a very neat ending. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it's taken on over time.
Other than the fact that the bridge collapsed and the sightings seem to stop around the same time, that's about all that we have connecting the two, is just those two timelines in history.
Right. So there is a slight correlation there, although I would add our earliest historical sighting of a similar creature around Lake Michigan actually dates as far back as 1969. It was less than 2 years after the collapse of the Silver Bridge, around the same time that the Mothman sightings, as it were, ostensibly ended. And so I think part of my point is, and, you know, obviously this is laid out in the book as well, that as much as we might really like these tidy narratives and these tight stories that have a conclusive ending, that's not really how life works, and I don't think that's how this Mothman phenomenon has worked either. I think that there may have been a break in sightings. Frankly, I don't know how many have gone unreported since then in that time span, and it's really difficult when you're trying to gather historical sightings. You know, because frankly, a lot of people who might have had one back then might not be around anymore. Mm-hmm. But from what we do know and what we have gathered is in about, you know, this 200 to 300 mile radius of Lake Michigan, those sightings seem to have begun a relatively short amount of time following the Point Pleasant flap.
The sightings that were then beginning in Lake Michigan, as far as what people were seeing, how similar were the reports as to what was being seen over in the Point Pleasant area in West Virginia?
Now, there is a decent amount of variation in eyewitness description. And I think that that's more common than people think. I think, you know, honestly, if you're looking at, you know, the winged humanoid sightings in Point Pleasant, you know, they were described at the time as varying between, you know, bird-like to bat-like. You know, some people might have described this thing as a giant bat or a giant owl or any anything in a range of descriptive terms, you know, because I think that what we have is people basically struggling to fit the impossible into their vocabulary, frankly, and so we see that with the Lake Michigan sightings as well, and so they have generally the same variation. So, you know, you'll have people describing sometimes a giant bird or a giant bat, often a winged humanoid, rather, with bird or bat-like characteristics. You do get those glowing colored eyes. The description of those will range in color from orange to red to yellow to, in some instances, even green. And if you look more sort of holistically at what was happening in the Ohio River Valley back in the 1960s, you'll see that there was a pretty good range of phenomena that was being reported at that time. And so while that there is a fairly good, you know, variation in the language and qualities that people describe around Lake Michigan, it's really not so different, frankly. And there are quite a few reports at this time too for us to sift through. And so I think probably one of the biggest differences would be, now we have that same humanoid with bird or bat-like characteristics that people were describing, you know, back in the 1960s. But there, you know, was also a small sort of, I guess, mini flap, more of a flutter, really, if you want it to describe it that way, in northern Illinois earlier this year. And that, interestingly enough, involved something that the witnesses were describing almost more like a winged Bigfoot, interestingly enough. And that was sort of a new one to me, because it didn't really fit the profile that, you know, we had established at that point, and that had really sort of been established, you know, decades prior. But I had to include it. You know, it was within sort of the general area of these sightings. And, you know, when you have an opportunity to speak to people who have encountered these things, and you can sit with them face to face, and they'll look you dead in the eye, and it's evident that they're very nervous, really scared often. And they tell you that they saw this, you know, 8 foot tall, hairy, humanoid being with large membranous wings. I can't discard that just because it doesn't necessarily fit into what I expected them to see. So I don't know how, like, what part that plays. I don't know what that means sort of in the context of the larger sightings, but that was definitely the biggest variance, I think, that we've seen so far.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars. It will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.